This is a free recording by Cambridge Cookbooks, etc. We hope you enjoy and benefit from the content. Also, please consider donating to the new Cambridge Mosque. Please visit cambridgemosqueismoving.org.uk.
Alhamdulillah, 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 الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدن ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وإليه المصير وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى رحمة وشفاء بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز ومن يعصهما فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون سلام الله تعالى عليكم ورحمته وبركاته قال الله عز وجل في القرآن الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل بفضل الله وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا هو خير مما يجمعون صدق الله العظيم الله سبحانه وتعالى says say by the grace of Allah and his mercy let them rejoice in that it is better than all that they gather all that they gather here refers to what we do in dunya gathering things whether it be physical things or mental things whether it be wealth or property or children or fame or reputation or self-esteem we are like squirrels collecting things and collecting things and collecting things and we are very busy at it's the source of all of our agitation and of most of our aspiration we are gatherers we are those who yajma'un but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is cutting through this by saying Allah's fadl and his rahmah are superior and it is through them that joy may be experienced this is a basic lesson but it's also the one that we are best at forgetting that the wealthy millionaire perhaps in the Gulf might think that his palaces and his villas and his smart cars will bring him contentment but however much contentment he might find in building them the contentment that he finds in them is likely to be sour. Why is that? Because the human heart is not designed to be content in such places and with such things. However much we may gather, still the human heart is hungry. Hungry for more of the same, and hungry for that which is the other, the divine other, the transcendent, the unknowable, that which is the food which alone can bring us contentment and can bring us nourishment and can satisfy us. The modern world is very good at helping us to collect things and to gather things, whether it be tokens of esteem or shares in companies or bank accounts. That's what the modern world essentially does, and that is the main concern of our leaders. But none of those things are what the human heart craves. We are given everything except that which we most need and that for which we most yearn. That is the tragedy of the modern condition. More and more form, less and less meaning. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that the way to happiness, farah, more than happiness even, joy, فَفِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا Let them rejoice in that and be joyful in it is by the grace of Allah and His mercy. The believer is the one who has very little in his hand, quite possibly, but he goes through the world and he sees everything that Allah is giving him. The beauty of the world, the extent of his life, his family, every breath that he takes, he experiences that as an irreplaceable treasure, as a jewel, as a whole treasure chest of jewels that come from the open hands of the Creator, Tabaraka wa ta'ala, without his having worked for them or having deserved them in any way. A believer is in this state of being farhan, joyful, because he sees with this particular kind of sight. His heart is opened and he sees the world as gift. The unbeliever looks at the world as a set of things that he might acquire, or he might value, or he might have power over. And since he'll never have power over most of them, his is the state of darkness and envy and resentment, and this is the condition of those who follow after dunya. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his deen, is calling us to this farah, to this joy. Now, what is the great joy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us? As well as the joys in the world that come from the divine name, Ar-Rahman, the rain that falls, that brings life to the earth, the sun that shines, the breath that we take, the composition of the gases in the atmosphere, the beating of our heart, all of those numberless blessings. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you would even try, we usually don't, but if you were to try to count Allah's blessings, you wouldn't be able to do so, because they just go on and on and on. But if we are people who see these blessings in the world, our appreciation will be enhanced when he gives us the blessing which is to connect that form to meaning. What is behind the world? What is an infinitesimal distance behind the surface of things? It is nothing other than Allah's absolute and undifferentiated and unqualified Rahmah. That is the stuff of creation. And this is why he calls himself Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Those who see this are closer to the name of Rahim. It is those of whom he says, يَخْتَصُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He singles out for his mercy whom he wills. And what is the greatest mercy that we can have? It is to have an explanation. And not an explanation that might make sense to the circuits of the brain, but an explanation that brings life to the desert of the heart. A real explanation, a deep meaning, something that works at the deepest level, that satisfies us beyond even those points where poetry and music and other things cannot go. The deepest depths of our soul is where this ma'na, this meaning, reaches. And that is what we most crave, even though our process of gathering things keeps us busy and sometimes even successfully makes us forget what we really want. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of this name, Rahim, has given us somebody who is called Rahmatun lil Alameen. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have sent you only as a mercy to the worlds. The worlds, that means the cosmos, everything. Not just this universe, but the next universe in time and the other universes that might exist in space, everything that is known only to the complete knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a mercy to them. Why? Because he is the one who sees the world as a gift, who is in this state of joy. The hadith authors tell us that nobody smiled more than the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Despite the poverty of his life and the challenges and the threats which he faced, he was a man who truly had this farah, this joy, experiencing the world as this banquet of Allah's signs. And if we follow him, to the extent that we follow him, and we follow him as somebody who guides us to this ma'na, to this meaning, and not just to the his, which is external things, in other words, we follow him inwardly as well as outwardly, we too, for sure, will start to taste something of that very high degree of joyfulness. We will move away from the state of dunya, which is necessarily limited. Even the world is limited and finite, and hence can't bring us limitless bliss. And that which we have of this finite world is even more finite, and in fact, a drop in the great ocean. So it's even less likely to bring us bliss. But when we are connected to Allah's Rahmah, which wasi'at kulla shay, which embraces all things, and beyond, which goes on for all eternity, then we are connected to infinity, and that is when the heart begins to be healed. That is when, however poor we might be, however unfortunate our circumstances, we look at the world with this sight of wisdom, with the eye of the heart, and we experience joy, because we see it as the gratuitous gift of Al-Karim, Al-Jawad, the one who is generous, noble, giving. This is the condition of Iman, this Bastul Hal, this opening of the inward state to joyfulness. And it was this that was the secret of the Holy Prophet's revolution. He was calling people from the darkness of a mercantile culture where they had gods that were quarreling with each other, each with its own finite sphere of operation, calling them to a world in which everything was the gift of the One, the All-Powerful, Al-Wahid, Al-Qahhar. And that made them joyful. They saw the meaning, and they had access to that which has no limit. That which is eternal was their destiny, and that which was infinite was their strength in this world. And thus were they transformed. An extraordinary revolution. And he was called Rahmatul Lil Alameen, mercy to the worlds. Bil Mu'minina, Ra'ufur Rahim. For those who believe, to set their trust in the divine, gentle and merciful. Ra'ufun Rahim. This is a tremendous moment in the history of humanity. Other moments are just about competing claims to bits of this world by finite rulers or businessmen or academics. Jealous about their reputation, they all stake out a finite space and they can't take it with them when they die. But what the Holy Prophet is offering us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a stake in eternity and the possibility of shifa'un wa rahmah, of a healing and a mercy, which is what we crave, which is what our hearts constantly wish for. The stillness that exists in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a gift poured out by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he turned on the taps and the desert hearts of the Arabs were turned into extraordinary things, verdure and fruits and beauty, and the world flocked to be their students and the world submitted to their rule and the world was made new. This great civilization that came about precisely because he had brought them this joy. You don't spread something by making people gloomy when they follow it. You spread something by offering people happiness. And we need to remember this in da'wah, particularly in an age when certain forms of Islam seem not really to be foregrounding this prophetic quality of rahmatul lil alameen, mercy for the world, but seem to be imposing and imposing and imposing, as if the religion is about always finding the narrowest possible interpretation and happily imposing it on others. As if the greatest happiness, the greatest farah that Islam offers is the happiness of asserting our authority over others and knowing that they can't answer back because we think we have religion on our side. But that is the farah of the tyrant. That has nothing to do with the farah of liberation and connection to the one who has called himself Rahman and Rahim before he has called himself anything else. That is not the way opened by the one who is Rahmatul Lil Alameen, mercy to the worlds. Human beings, of course, crave happiness. But the shaitan is very, very good at manipulating our cravings so that we crave that which is inappropriate, which is perverse. We become, instead of the noblest of beings, asfala safilin, the lowest of the low. Any one of the human cravings can be turned into something beautiful and noble, whether it be courage or desire, appreciation of beauty, generosity, strength, whatever it might be, it can be used for something that is beautiful and heroic and right, that demonstrates the dignity of Bani Adam. But each of those qualities can also take us down lower than anything else in creation, and that is the balance on which human beings have been set. And so it is with this aspect of the joy that comes with religion, which the Holy Prophet ﷺ brings to the world, and which we rejoice over at this time of the year. He is bringing us a joy that is the true joy of the fadl and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not bringing us the joy that comes from asserting our authority over others. We need to remember this, because sometimes we need to exercise authority. We might be heads of families. We might be running a college. We might be leading an army into battle. We might be running a state, we might be an authority. This is something that human beings have to undertake. It's part of being Allah's Khalifa on the earth. But if we are to be in this state, we must be very careful that we are contrite, like the early Khulafa, that our joy is not in power, but our joy is in our connectedness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to scrutinize ourselves constantly when in authority over others. And we're all in authority over somebody, and we are all answerable for that. Kullukum mas'ul, wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyyatih. The Holy Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, each one of you is a shepherd, and each one of you shall be asked about his flock. In every moment, why is it your flock? What is your relationship? What is the status of your heart regarding their heart? Is it the status that Pharaoh sought to establish over the Israelites, or is it the state of the one who wishes the other to experience joy, and the true joy, which is the joy that comes from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This time of year we remember the one who was promised, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The arrival of each prophet is, by definition, the great event of its time. No other human event can compete with it, outwardly, let alone inwardly. And the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the one who they found written in the Torah and the Injil. الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيِّ الَّذِينَ يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عَنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. They find him written, inscribed in the Torah and the Injil. Now, the original form of the Torah and the Injil, as anybody in the divinity faculty will be happy to tell you, is now undiscernible. Most of you don't even know who wrote those books down. We don't know how those books were transmitted. There's nothing like an isnad. It's all hearsay at best. But still, we need to remember that so momentous an event as the arrival of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot have been unforeseen. And by saying that the Christians and the Jews find him inscribed in the Torah and the Injil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us also to take a look. And alhamdulillah, the ulama of Islam and many Western scholars, including Lawrence Brown, who used to be part of this Jama'ah and is now in Saudi Arabia and has a website, Level Truth, have been poring over the texts of the what remains of the earlier biblical revelations in order to find the greatest news of the arrival of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Famous text out of the hundreds of texts that the scholars have found is the text in John's Gospel, where Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam says something that to everybody except Muslims is really puzzling. He says, "I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes to you, he shall reveal to you all things. And he shall speak not from himself, but everything that he hears, that he shall speak." Now, later on, Christians said this must be the Holy Spirit, even though there's no evidence to suggest that in the first 2 centuries of Christianity anybody believed in the Holy Spirit as part of the Trinity. Trinitarian language was completely absent in the first Christian texts. Similarly, it doesn't really work for the Holy Spirit, does it? Because, after all, what is he doing in this? He's not speaking of his own account, but he is speaking that which he hears. Who's he hearing it from? It is a deity. He should be speaking it of his own account. Much more sensible to apply this to the one who came after, who's the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is precisely that of Muballigh, the one who conveys the light that was sent down with him, which is the light of the Holy Quran, and who disclosed all truth. One of the things that they do in this university is to look at ancient documents such as the Dead Sea Scrolls. And one thing that they puzzle over the Dead Sea Scrolls, which is in several of the Dead Sea Scrolls, is the prediction that there will be two messiahs. I don't know if the ulama have looked at this, but definitely in some of the scrolls there are two. There is to be a priestly messiah and a kingly messiah. And the priestly messiah, sometimes identified with the teacher of righteousness, will be opposed by somebody called the lying tongue. Robert Eisenman and other non-Muslim scholars have identified this lying tongue with St. Paul, who distorted the teachings of the original teacher of righteousness. But who is the kingly messiah? Well, I leave that to the commentators on the Dead Sea Scrolls, but the Muslims know, of course, the one who came as the An-Nabi al-Ummi, as the unlettered prophet, and came to bring the light that was indeed to initiate an extraordinary new age of righteousness and openness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is rahmatul lil alameen, wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatul lil alameen, اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين، إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله، فإنه خير الزاد. وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور، فكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم، أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين، فقال جل من قائل: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة، ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار. يا عالم السر منا، لا تهتك الستر عنا، وعافنا واعف عنا، وقل لنا حيث كنا. يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، أمتنا على دين الإسلام، ووفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله وسنة سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. عباد الله، رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى، وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي، يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم، وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.